This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawmiddin. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa ilayka al-mushtaka wa bika thiqa wa alayka al-tuklan wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. وحل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين إن شاء الله تعالى tonight we are starting or launching a new series and this series will happen once a month amongst other programs are being launched that will happen on Saturdays. So I believe the second Saturday of each month, we will have a story night. And the purpose of this event or this program is that we look into the stories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran. And the stories that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told in the Sunnah, reflect over them and try and truly understand what it is that we are being asked to comprehend, to understand, to apply, to live by. Because one thing is for sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave about a third of the Quran to stories. A third of the Quran is stories. Stories of righteous people whom we are meant to follow. Stories of wicked people whom we are meant to avoid being like, and everything in between. If you want to go to Jannah, which we all want, here are a list of people that went to Jannah and what they do to earn that. If you want to avoid going to the fire, here are a list of people and their stories that earn that, and what is it that they've done so that you do the opposite or you don't do that. Are you going through challenges in life? Are you going through challenges with your spouse, with your children, with your income, with your health, with anything, with your reputation? Here are people that went through the same thing and overcame it and prospered and did the right thing. So for every story that we go through, you learn something that you can apply upon yourself. And that is the point. These stories are not just stories that we are telling, just, oh, that was nice, that is interesting, and then you walk away with nothing. As we are talking through it, I want you to ask yourself, okay, what about what's being said right now? Can I apply to my life today and or understand something more about myself, especially as it relates to the lecture that we're doing tonight? Tonight we are talking about our father. We are talking about Adam alayhi salam. And Adam is such an interesting prophet and person because his experience is unique. His experience is so unique. He is the first human being. So his experience with Allah, his experience with the world, his experience with the angels, his experience with the devil, the shaitan, his experience with his own desires, with rules and how to follow them, with mistakes and how to overcome them. All of that is key because we are all, in the end of the day, the children of Adam. All of us have characteristics of this great man, of this great prophet, of our father. I'll talk about his story, and each time I'll try and reflect over it and discuss certain themes that really matter to us. But Adam alayhi salam is the first human being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And what makes him special? Number one, what makes him special is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced his creation to the angels before he even created him. And Allah announced the purpose of Adam and mankind, you and I, our existence and our being on this earth. And this is also, interestingly enough, the first story you'll come across if you're reading Surah Al-Baqarah. If you open the Quran and you read Surah Al-Fatiha, then you read the second surah in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Baqarah. As you're going through this, the first story you come across is the story of Genesis, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of humanity, the beginning of our story, Adam. And Allah says, and remember when your Lord said to the angels, Inni ja'iluka inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I will make a successor or a successive authority on this earth. Allah is telling the angels, there's a new creation about to be made. And this new creation will be made to be the authority on this earth. They will be an authority on this earth that will succeed each other generation after generation. What is the purpose of this new creation? Their purpose is to worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, I have not created jinn nor mankind except to single me out in worship. So this new creation, they worship just like the angels worship. So they have the same purpose as the angels. They are there to worship. Okay, what else? This new creation is going to be somewhat different than the angels. They will have wants and desires, and they will have the free will to enact upon their desires, good or bad. In that essence, they resemble the jinn who existed before mankind. So before humanity is created, you have the angels whose single duty is glorifying Allah and worshipping Him. What an amazing duty that is. And you had the jinn who also were required to worship and glorify Allah. But the difference between the angels and the jinn was, the jinn had the capacity to deviate and follow their desires. And of course, then Allah creates mankind, or announces the creation of mankind. And the angels, they ask Allah a question. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ Oh Allah, they said, are you going to create a creation? Because with free will, with choice, with desires comes mistakes. And with mistakes comes oppression. And with oppression comes destruction. And with destruction comes bloodshed. So they ask a question, Ya Allah, are you going to create this new creation? By the way, who are they talking about? They're talking about us. It's important that you realize that. They're talking about us, human beings. Are you going to create this new creation and put them on earth? Man yufsidu fiha, that will cause widespread corruption. Wa yasfiku dima, and they will cause bloodshed. Were the angels right? Are human beings sometimes corrupt? Yes. Do we sometimes cause bloodshed? A lot of bloodshed. We see what's happening with our brothers and sisters all over the world. Human beings are capable of great evil. تَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يَسْفِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ And then what did the angels say? Ya Allah, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ And we glorify you and we praise you as you deserve, O Allah. The angels are not doubting Allah's wisdom, but they are trying to find out what's going on, which is very fair. They're asking Allah the Almighty to understand, O Allah, can you share with us why? Allah tells them, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. O angels, I know that which you do not know. As much fitna and problems that mankind is capable of, they are even capable of even greater forms of good. Imagine all the great prophets. Imagine all the great righteous people. Imagine all the great men and women, worshippers of Allah, saints. People who had the epitome of kindness, justice, compassion, these are also human beings. And for every horrible person we have, for every Fir'aun that we have a Musa. And for every Abu Jahl, there is a Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who tipped the scales anyway. Right? So mankind, you're learning, is capable of greatness when it comes to khair, and they're also capable of great evil. Allah says, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. O angels, I know, Allah says, that which you do not know. Then what happened? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. What was Adam created of and how was he created? Adam is special in a number of ways. Let's start with what Adam is created of. Allah mentions the Quran that Adam was created from turab, right? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Turab is soil, the earth, right? So, and you all know this, if someone asks, what's Adam created of? You'll say the earth, the soil. But similarly, Allah says, Adam was created from teen. Teen is clay. And also, Allah tells us that everything has been created from water. And later on, Allah tells us other descriptions of what Adam was created from. Min teen lazib. Clay that can form and harden. That when you knock it, it makes sound. Like potteries, what they make. So, different stages of Adam's creation. From that, we understand that the way Allah created the first human being was from soil. And what's interesting is, where did that soil come from? The Prophet tells us in a hadith. The Prophet tells us in a hadith, أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ آدَمْ مِنْ قَبْضَةٍ. Allah created Adam from soil, a handful of soil that was taken from each type of soil on this earth. Each type. And each type, and you've seen, the earth has different colors. Has different colors, right? And sometimes it's dark brown, sometimes it's lighter brown, sometimes when you go to the beach, it gets different shades. Allah created Adam by combining all the shades and types of earth that is on this dunya. And from that, Allah created Adam. And the Prophet ﷺ explaining that said, and that's why you find the difference in mankind is based on the differences of the earth, the soil on the earth. This is where our colors come from. This is where our colors come from. And you find out every human being's color can be found a type of earth that looks like that. And this is also where our characters come from. The Prophet ﷺ said, the character of people are not the same. Some are quick to anger. Others are quick, have a lot of patience. Others are easygoing. Others are difficult. The Prophet says this is also from our nature. Why? Because not all of the earth is the same. Especially farmers would know this. There's a type of earth that if you plant something, the seed immediately grows. A lot of khair comes from it. And there's types that you avoid. And there's all sorts of soil on this earth. And similarly, you have all sorts of people on this earth. So this also already tells you the origin of our father and how that reflects in the origin of mankind. And that shows you that the differences within humanity were meant to be there from the beginning. And that's from Allah's signs. That from one man that Allah created, so many different people came and not one is like the other. Not one is like the other. طيب. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and fashioned him with his own hands. Like Allah says in the Quran, لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. The one who I created with my own hands, Allah says. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned him with his own hands. And when we say hands, we never liken Allah to any of his creations. So you take imaginations and you leave imagination outside when you're discussing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whatever you imagine, Allah is different than that. Allah is different than that. However, there are only four things that Allah fashioned and created with his own hands. And one of them was Adam alayhi salam. So Allah creates Adam, forms him, his body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created him, he was 60 cubits tall. One cubit is about this tall. So 60 of these. That is a very, very tall man. That would essentially be a giant. However, why is it that human beings are not that big now? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned that Adam was this tall when Allah created him, when the angels bowed down to him, when he was in Jannah. But later on, when Allah brings him to the dunya, to the earth, he was brought and his size or shape was reduced to fit the earth. طيب. That's one of the opinions. In any case, when Allah created Adam, he was 60 cubits tall. Then something interesting happened. Allah created his body, but did not give him a soul yet. So you had this human being standing, and the angels see him, and the jinns, they see him as well. And among the jinn was Iblis. And some of the narrations mention that Iblis has no idea why this new creation is created yet. And can Adam speak? Why? No, he can't. Why not? Because he doesn't have a soul yet. He's just a body, a phone without a SIM card. So what did Iblis do? Iblis entered Adam and then exited him and looked at him and said that this is a creation that can very easily be influenced. I want you to think about that and how often Shaitan influences us today. Iblis also said he must have been created for a great cause. The envy is starting to emerge. What makes you so special? What makes you so special? And that envy is now increasing. And that envy, why are you being treated differently? Why are you the successive authority on the earth? Why is Allah creating you in this special way? This envy is starting to emerge in Iblis. And that envy will lead to arrogance and pride, which will lead to him becoming the accursed devil. But let's not get there yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blows the ruh, the soul of Adam, into him. And then he started to wake up because he's coming alive now. And the first thing our father said, the first thing Adam said, or the first thing that happened to him, was he sneezed. He sneezed. So, next time when you sneeze, it will have more meaning to you. The first thing a human being has ever done, it's an interesting quiz question, he sneezed. And then he said, Alhamdulillah. He praised Allah. All praise and thanks and gratitude belongs to Allah. Thank you, Allah, for creating me. Thank you, Allah, for fashioning me so beautiful. Thank you, for Allah, for allowing me to exist. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to him. The first thing Allah ever said to a human being, Yarhamakallah. May Allah have mercy on you. This is the relationship between mankind and Allah. It's built on mercy. It's built on responsibility and mercy. The responsibility of worship. The responsibility of carrying that burden. Of being the entity, the creation that will be the successive authority on the earth. But Allah will have mercy on us. Then, as the soul continued to get throughout his body and he fully awoke, before his leg came to life, his legs came to life, he smelled the fragrance of the fruits of Jannah. And he tried to reach out to them and get up, but he couldn't. And Allah says, خُلِقْ الْإِنْزَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. That hastiness that we have, that we can't wait, it comes from there. Our father couldn't wait. It is in our essence to be hasty. Hence why those among us that are much more reserved, that can wait, that don't rush, there's barak in it. That's why in Islam, rushing is frowned upon unless you're rushing towards worship. Let me say that again. In Islam, rushing is frowned upon unless you're rushing to worship. When it comes to worship, what does Allah say to us? Think about it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the dunya, Allah said, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا. Walk, walk, Allah says. When it comes to the dunya and finding out or looking out for your rizq, your jobs, your businesses, what's the pace? You're what? You're walking. When Allah was talking about the ibadah and Allah's forgiveness and worship, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Rush to the forgiveness of your Lord. You rush. By the way, not for salah. Salah, when you're coming to the masjid, you walk, yeah? That's the sunnah, you walk. You never run to the salah. You never run to the salah. But as a general concept, if there's anything worth rushing to, is it the dunya or is it your deen? It's your deen. When Allah was talking about himself, Allah said, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah. What does fleeing mean? Yes. Sprinting. You flee from a lion chasing you. Very good. What's your name? Talha? Barakallah feek. Fleeing is when you are rushing, like you're rushing away from danger. Allah, when he's talking about himself, he said, oh mankind, flee towards me. Meaning when it comes to Allah, you should go running to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never think elsewhere. Go because Allah for you is safety. Allah for you is mercy. Allah for you is rahmah and love and compassion. Allah will forgive all of your sins. Go back to Allah. The first word Allah said to mankind and to humanity and to Adam was what? Mercy. طيب, then what happened? Then Adam, by the way, how did Adam look like? Adam was, we mentioned his height, he was extremely handsome. And most people, when you ask them who was the most handsome human being to have ever lived, they tend to say, which prophet? Prophet Yusuf. Did you know that this is based on a narration that the Prophet ﷺ said Yusuf was given shatrul husn, half of all beauty. Meaning, the rest of us have to split the rest, the other half. Like, in a, right, half of all beauty was given to who? The Prophet Yusuf. Some of the ulama, they say, this is half of the beauty of Adam. Half of the beauty of Adam. Because Adam, Allah fashioned him. Allah created the first man. And what does Allah say in Surah 13? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Jazakallah khair, Ahmed. Taqweem means what? Allah said, we fashioned mankind in the best possible way. So, Adam was extremely handsome. Adam, his skin color, the ulama say, comes from the Uduma. It had a brownish tone. The shade is unclear. So we know this from Adam. We also know he had a large set of hair. The Prophet described Adam and he said, كَانَ كَثِيفُ الشَّعْرِ. He had a lot of hair. So, very tall, a lot of hair, extremely handsome. And he is presented now to the angels. The same angels who were questioning his creation, now he's standing in front of him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored mankind in more ways than one. And when we say mankind, again, Allah honored us. Look what Allah says. Allah commands the angels to bow down to Adam. To bow down to Adam. Now, bowing or prostrating, I should say, sujood, is of two types. Sujood ibadah and sujood tahiyyah. Sujood ibadah is when you prostrate in worship. When we prostrate in worship, we only do it for who? Allah, no one else. But what about prostrating as a greeting, which is what the angels were doing? That is haram for us. We, as Muslims today, it is prohibited for us to do sujood tahiyyah. But for the people that came before us with the intention of greeting, it was allowed, like you have in the story of Yusuf and like you have in the story of the angels and Adam. So when they prostrated and Allah commanded them, it was to honor him and to greet him, not to worship him. Because who do the angels worship? Allah, just like Adam and everyone else. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to bow down, afwan, before I get to that, there's another bit that I have to share with you guys. We'll come back to the sujood. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored, we already mentioned how Allah honored Adam in different ways. That when first by creating him with his own hands, right? When we mentioned that Allah blew the ruh into him. When we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he announced his creation before even creating him. That Allah made him the khalifa of the earth and all of these things. Then Allah taught Adam the names of everything. Now, what does that mean? Allah said in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught Adam the names of everything. This meant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam the ability to communicate in the greatest way possible. And the knowledge of all things, anything that was presented to him, he knew what it was. He knew immediately what it was because Allah taught him that knowledge. And this was a knowledge not given to the angels. Meaning the angels, if anything was presented to them, out of all the animals that exist in the world, out of all the items that exist in the world, of all of the stars, anything and everything, do the angels know everything what is called and what it is? They didn't. So Allah tested them and said, name me this, that, that, and that. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ فَقَالْ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. Tell me the names of these things. And they didn't know. They said, we don't know, Allah. Right?
Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Glory be to you, Allah. We have no knowledge except that which you taught us. And then Allah told Adam to tell them. And this was Adam's knowledge. And this was Allah honoring mankind with knowledge as well. And the importance of language and knowledge. The importance of language and knowledge as well. So why? Because now what's important is today, we honor each other based on ilm as well, and we should. Right? By the way, knowledge, Islamic knowledge or otherwise, knowledge, it lifts you up. The more you know, the better. Hence why even the Quran, the first word the Prophet was told was Iqra, recite, read. Knowledge elevates you. The ulama, they say, ignorance, there's nothing worse than it. Look at even the dog. Look at dogs. Allah talks about the dogs in the Quran, that the dogs that the ones that hunt for you, that are taught how to hunt, right? Hunting dogs, or guarding dogs, for example, or shepherd dogs. They are treated much different than the regular dogs that can't do any of those. Are you allowed to keep a dog if you have a flock of sheep? Yes, you are. What makes that dog different? It knows how to take care of sheep. But your average pet cannot. Why is that dog treated different than this one? Because of the knowledge it has. It's been trained. I'll give you another example. The dog's saliva, is it pure or impure? Islamically, it's impure, so you have to wash it off. But if it's trained to be able to hunt, and then it hunts and it bites the animal for you that you're hunting, isn't its saliva going to touch that? This time it's forgiven. What makes this one different than that one? Because this one has been taught. It knows. Knowledge elevates everything. Knowledge elevates everything. The magicians of Fir'aun, they, ulama, they categorize knowledge into two. Harmful and helpful. Harmful and beneficial. Right? So, sihr, sorcery and magic, using the shayateen and all that, is that harmful knowledge or beneficial knowledge? Harmful knowledge. In fact, it's not allowed, right? It can lead to disbelief. That knowledge that the magicians had that faced against Musa, when they realized what Musa came with, the staff turning into the snake, they realized what Musa is doing is not what they're doing. This is real. This is not sorcery. This is real. This is a miracle. That harmful knowledge they had, led to them accepting Islam and becoming martyrs. The ulama, they say, even harmful knowledge, as harmful and as prohibited as it is better than no knowledge. Because no knowledge, there's nothing there. It's very dangerous. Jahl is dangerous. So Allah honored mankind with ilm. Allah honored mankind with purpose. What's our purpose? The worship of Allah. Allah honored mankind with great beginnings, with mercy. Then what happened? Then Allah honored mankind by making one of the greatest creation of Allah, the angels, bow down to Adam to greet him. It's important that we appreciate how much Allah, when Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, and we have honored the children of Adam and mankind. Here you see it. So the angels are told to bow down. Remember that one person that was envious of Adam? Iblis, who was amongst the angels. Was he from the angels? He was not. He wasn't a fallen angel like you have in certain biblical narratives. And even some ulama, they took that view. But rather he was from the jinn and he was with amongst the angels. Not from the angels, but amongst the angels. And he was among those that were told to bow down. And he refused. How can you refuse Allah? How can you refuse Allah's direct command? That to refuse Allah's direct command is extremely dangerous. فَسَجَدُوا, they immediately bowed down, the angels, and prostrated. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ, except for Iblis. Why? إِسْتَكْبَرَ, أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. He refused and he was prideful. Pride is extremely dangerous. Pride is the one sin Allah does not forgive. If you die upon pride does not take, if you have, the Prophet in Hadith, if you have mithqala dharra, if you have the smallest amount of pride in your heart, you will never leave paradise. You cannot be someone that is prideful. And this is very, very dangerous. If you can be weak, you can make mistakes, you can oppress others, your desires can overcome you. That's not right, but it can happen. But never let pride enter your heart. I am better. I deserve. This is a satanic trait. It's from the devil. And pride, his pride came from envy. And those are the two sins we need to pay attention to. He was so jealous of Adam. Why you? That he had to rationalize why he's better. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. Oh Allah, I am better than him. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ, he said. When Allah said, why are you not making sujood like the rest? I am better than him. Why are you better than him? خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ, you created me from fire. وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ, and you created him from clay. You created him from soil, and you created me from fire. Fire is clearly better. I am better. Why am I going to have to bow down to him? He's now rationalizing. We all know that's not the real reason. The real reason is he's just jealous. He's jealous, and he doesn't want to obey Allah. That's the real reason. He doesn't want to obey Allah, right? But he's rationalizing, and that's what sometimes people do. Why are you doing this thing that is haram? I'm doing it because X, Y, and Z. This is something that we have to be very careful of. What should your relationship be with your own disobedience? Let me say that again. What should your relationship be with your own disobedience? Meaning what? If you sin, if you lie, if you do something that's haram, if you miss a salah, if you oppress someone, if you insult someone, you have done an act of disobedience. When you do the act of disobedience, your immediate reaction should not be, so what? I did it because... if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't have. No. Your immediate action should be, I am wrong. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. If that is your relationship with your sins, you're upon khair. No one should be blamed just for sinning. Because like I will tell you, it's a part of our nature to make mistakes and to sin. But what you're blamed for is not repenting, not coming back. So what does Iblis do? He's too prideful, he's too arrogant, he argues. And this begins the relationship between mankind and Iblis. Between the children of Adam and the shayateen, the devils. Where Iblis made a vow, I will do everything in my power to misguide mankind. To prove they are not better than me. Remember, that's his psychology. He wants to prove that we are not better than him. That Adam is not better than him. Hence why Adam will, when he's in Jannah, Iblis will not let him go. He will try and convince him to do something wrong. See, I knew he wasn't perfect. This is his whole. And what does he want? He wants to get as many of Adam's children, us, in the fire. And he's constantly influencing our decisions. And this is why we have to constantly fight him. Allah tells in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Indeed, the shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Take him as your enemy. Let me get back to Adam. After Adam was honored by the angels bowing down, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to gift Adam the gift of paradise. Go on and live in Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having created Adam, knew that Adam required a companion, required a friend, required a spouse, required a wife, required a partner. So Allah created Hawa. Allah created, how was Hawa created? From his rib. So Allah created a Hawa from the rib of Adam. And there you had now a woman, a man and a woman. Right? That seems very obvious, but these days it looks like for some it's not very obvious. Man, woman, khalas, intaha. So you have a man and you have a woman. You have Adam, you have Hawa. What's fascinating is Allah created our mother, Hawa, from his middle section, from his rib. Right? She wasn't created from the top to assume that the woman is here and the man is here. And she wasn't created from his toes to assume that the man can walk all over the woman. She was created from the middle section to show that they need each other. There's another thing that someone pointed out. A wife, a spouse, and those that are married will know, women, they love to be hugged. And some say that right there is their home. Where they were made of, that's right their home. You know, this is why when you hug them and they're close, they feel that. Also, the rib and the heart are very close to each other. Right? They're very close to each other. And the relationship between a man and a woman is one of love and compassion and mercy. And what does Allah say to Adam when he creates Hawa? Why, oh Allah, did you create this person? لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. To find with his spouse happiness, joy, and tranquility. Happiness, joy, and tranquility. That's the point of a marriage. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Then Allah tells them both to go to Jannah. Right? أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Live you and your wife in paradise. Live you and your wife where? In paradise. So where was mankind's original home? Was it the earth or was it Jannah? It was Jannah. And our whole life is trying to get back home. That's the whole point. Your mission is to get back home. How are we going to get back home? By doing a lot of ibadah, a lot of worship, and living your life the way Allah wants you to live, and then you can find your way back to your original home. That's your destination. So mankind, we started in Jannah. أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ. By the way, for a good point of benefit, Adam was created in Jannah. Adam was created in Jannah. Right? Like the Prophet says in the hadith, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. In Jannah. And then he was told, dwell in it and live in it. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا. And eat whatever you want and drink whatever you want. There is no prohibition. You can do whatever you want, you and your spouse. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ شَجَرَةً. But just avoid this one tree. All of Jannah is open for you except for this one tree. Avoid it. Then what happened? Is Shaitan going to leave them alone? No. He has this burning desire to prove that human beings, that Adam and his wife, are able to err and mistake and sin just like he did. So Allah tells us what happened. Shaitan started to influence them. Some people ask, how did he influence them? If they're in Jannah, how did he get to them? What we know for sure is that he influenced them because Allah said, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaitan was influencing them and casting doubts in them and even speaking to them. There are several views of how he did that. Some say that Allah allowed him to enter, to influence them, to teach Adam and Hawa a lesson, to test them, because Shaitan will influence their children, he will influence us, and we need to be able to know how to handle that. Does that make sense? Others have said that he snuck in with a serpent, and there's some stories that are mentioned, but all of these, they're not necessarily authentic. In any case, what did Shaitan say to them? He said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. O Adam, shall I not show you a particular fruit, a tree that is called شَجَرَةُ الْخُلْدِ, of eternity. If you eat from it, you will live forever. A kingdom that never ends. وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Right? So now he's telling them, you eat from that, you'll live forever. This will happen, that will happen. And they're listening to him. But before that, Allah already warned them. Right? Watch out for the deceptions of the shaitan. Here you learn another trait of human beings that you find in Prophet Adam. What is that? Forgetfulness. Adam already forgot. He's been warned by Allah about the shaitan, but now shaitan is influencing him and he forgot. And this is normal. Human beings forget. Our Prophet Adam also forgot. Then, what added fuel to the fire was that Iblis did something that Prophet Adam could not imagine one would do. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. And he swore by Allah to the both of them. He swore by Allah to the both of them, truly I am giving you sincere advice. Eat from that thing. Now, can you imagine that Adam and Hawa would ever imagine someone using Allah's name in that way? So they ate from the tree. They ate from the tree. There are some discussions around what was Hawa's role in this. From the ayats, you understand that the shaitan is speaking to both of them sometimes. Because Allah says, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا, he swore to Allah, to them both, إِنِّي لَكُمَا, I am indeed for the both of you, a sincere counsel and advice. So he's communicating to them both. However, in some of the narrations, or some of the ayat, he is, Allah talks about how the devil was specifically targeting Adam. So Adam is almost leading. But what was the mistake of Hawa then, other than also eating? That she didn't stop her husband. That she didn't advise him. That she let him continue. When she should have grabbed his hand and said, no. And this is another lesson. We should never watch each other go on a path that is wrong. Responsibility of all of us is to advise each other. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, he asked a companion, "An-nushu li kulli Muslim," to give advice to every believer. Every believer, you advise them. That is a right. All of us, we can't watch each other fall into a mistake. In any case, they eat from the forbidden fruit. Now, did Shaitan prove his point? They sinned, I sinned. They made a mistake, I made a mistake. He didn't get it. Was their sin out of pride or desire? Big difference between those two. Pride is a disease. Pride is much worse than just desire. You can desire something that is wrong. Someone may insult you and then you desire to punch them, right? You're not prideful, but you're just upset and angry, and then someone will stop themselves and they will act upon it. But this weakness that we have where we act upon our desires, this can happen. And when it happens, it has a certain remedy. But Iblis was not acting upon a desire. Iblis refused to obey Allah on purpose, not as a slip-up. When Allah talks about the mistake of Adam and Hawa, Allah calls it فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan made him slip up. You know what is amazing about slipping? Is it ever on purpose? Has anyone ever slipped on purpose? I mean, usually what happens? There's a spillage, you walk on it, and you slip. I almost slipped when I was leaving my house today. Someone had spilled something in front of the door. So it's never what? On purpose. Meaning you never intend, but it happens. Now, don't get me wrong. Our sins are not just by accident. Sometimes we sin on purpose. But when we sin on purpose, we sin because we are falling into our desires, right? And when you fall into your desires, your job is to dig yourself out, like I will say to you. What was the reaction of Adam and Hawa when they erred, when they made the mistake, versus the reaction of Iblis? Iblis, he made the mistake. Allah tells him, why did he do it? He starts rationalizing, I am better than him, I don't deserve this. And then he owns the mistake, he lives by it. He doubles down. He says, not only am I going to be misguided, I'm going to misguide others. What did Adam and Hawa do? They cried. They were remorseful. They were sorry. They felt the pain of the sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so what happens? First of all, what happened is, Allah mentions that they because of that sin, it had consequences. They would be cast down. They would be cast down the earth. And that's why we left Jannah. Why are we not living in Jannah anymore? Because our father and our mother, Adam and Hawa, ate from the fruit that they were not supposed to. And as a consequence of their action, they were sent down to earth to live here, worshipping Allah, living a good life, so that they may earn the return back to their original home. But that was always the plan. Remember in the beginning of the story, before Adam is even created, what does Allah say to the angels? I am going to create a creation who will be a successive authority generation after generation on the what? On the earth. Did Allah say Jannah? So even before Adam is created, Allah had plans for Adam and Hawa to live where? On the earth, and their children as well. This was just the way it happened, but that was always their destination. And there are many wisdoms behind it. One of them is, only after living in the dunya, where you have to work, and you have to work, and you get sick, and you get tired, and you have to sleep, and you have all of these problems, and you're not always happy, and you're not always joyful, and you don't get everything that you wish for, when you live through that, then when you go to Jannah, Jannah will make sense to you. Oh, wow. What makes Jannah so great? What makes Jannah so great is... sorry, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? How are you? Only after you've lived in the troubles of this world can you truly appreciate Jannah. If you were always in Jannah and all you knew was wishes coming true and eating whatever you want and doing whatever you want, would it have as much value? It will not. What gives Jannah its value is we're comparing it to what? We're comparing it to life in this world, right? Where we have pain and suffering and death, responsibilities and worship, and Allah promises us, go through this the right way and you go back to where you belong. Does that make sense, everyone? Barakallahu feekum. So, the first thing Allah says is, of course, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Adam made a mistake and he disobeyed. He disobeyed a clear command, but he was remorseful, right? And then Allah says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. How beautiful. Allah taught Adam words to say that will lead to his repentance. And then Allah accepted his repentance. Iblis didn't want to repent. Iblis did not want to repent. And Iblis was not remorseful. And there, here you learn the relationship we have with our sins. If you are prideful like Iblis, you'll end up like Iblis. If you are remorseful like Adam, you'll end up like Adam, forgiven. I mean, how can Allah not forgive when the first thing Allah said to you was, may mercy, the mercy of Allah be on you. So what was it that they said? What they said, the words they said, please memorize these words and use them whenever you feel you've sinned, use these words. Allah mentioned them in Surah Al-A'raf. What did Adam and Hawa say? قَالَ رَبَّنَا. They said, O our Lord, O our Lord, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. We have wronged ourselves. Wronged yourselves by doing what? By eating from the tree you were told to not eat. We wrong ourselves by what? By missing our salahs, by lying, by insulting each other, by hurting each other, by stealing, by any version of haram that happens, by backbiting. We wrong ourselves. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. O Allah, we oppressed and wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And if you do not forgive us. O Allah, if you do not forgive us. وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And show us mercy. لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We will be among the losers. In other words, O Allah, if you don't forgive us and show us mercy, we will surely be among the losers. So that when Allah say, Allah immediately forgave them. So Allah forgave their sin. They are not being held accountable for their sin. This is why the difference between Christianity and Islam is we don't believe in the concept of an original sin cascading down into humanity forever. We are not responsible for the sin of our fathers. No one is responsible for the sin of those that came before him. And humanity is not responsible for the sin of Adam or the error of Adam or the mistake of Adam alayhi salam. Does that make sense? Allah forgave them, but there was a consequence. There was a consequence. The consequence was that they would be cast down from the heavens and onto the earth where they were meant to be to begin with. So who was sent to the earth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ نَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. And what's interesting is you find in Surah Al-Baqarah, the word hubut, to come down, is mentioned twice. So when they made this, when they sinned, Allah said, we said to them, I don't like to use the word sin, subhanAllah. When they made the mistake, Allah said to them, you're going to be sent down. Then they repented. When they repented, they may have assumed, okay, we repented so we can stay in Jannah. So Allah reminded them, this is why in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentioned it twice. You will be sent down. Who? You, Allah mentioned Hawa and Adam, as well as the shaitan. As well as the shaitan. And then Allah said, بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. You will be enemies to each other. Right? And then Allah mentioned that He will send after us, after they came down, what will distinguish those that follow the path of the devil versus those that follow the path of the prophets? What will distinguish them is going to be their adherence to the books that are sent down. The books that are sent down. So Adam came down to the earth, and it is mentioned that him and Hawa were separated, and they found themselves in Arafah. They found themselves where? In Arafah. So Arafah's significance is from that time. And it's also mentioned that he built the Kaaba. Adam built the Kaaba. And by the time we get to Prophet Ibrahim, the Kaaba is not there anymore, so he raises the foundation of the Kaaba back. And it is said that Hawa is buried in Jeddah. Jeddah today, and that's why the word Jeddah in Arabic means what? It means grandmother. Grandmother. Meaning the grandmother of all of mankind, and Allah knows best. So the story of Adam, what do we benefit from it, my brothers and sisters? Number one, we benefit from it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks to mankind with rahmah and mercy. When Allah introduced himself in the Quran, Allah tells he's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful. That there's no sin greater than Allah's mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing that our father said to Allah was Alhamdulillah. So our relation with Allah should be one of praise and gratitude and thankfulness. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you cannot enumerate them. Wallahi, right now, if I gave a pen and a stack of papers and pen to each one of us and start saying, count the blessings that Allah has given you, we would fill those and we would still need more. The amount of blessings Allah has given you. Health, family, shelter, you know, a thousand and one things. Just the eye, your eyes, the ability to see colors, to taste food, to all the different things, every morsel of food you've ever eaten, every smile, every joy, everything that you enjoy is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you exist, the fact that you're a Muslim, the fact that you know the Quran, the fact that Allah guided you to be in a masjid, 1,001 things, and even more, of course. So the first statement of our father was Alhamdulillah. So live by that word, Alhamdulillah. What is the first thing that we say when we wake up, my brothers? Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. The first thing you say is Alhamdulillah. The moment you finish your food, you say Alhamdulillah. You live always between Bismillah and Alhamdulillah, right? What do we learn? We learn that what caused Iblis to deviate? Jealousy and envy. He was so jealous of Adam and so envious that led to pride. I am better. I am this. I am that. To the point where he refused to. We get that sometimes. If someone advises you, don't ever reject sincere Islamic advice because you're feeling prideful. Humble yourself. And wallahi, we need to learn humility. Even when you're winning, humble yourself. Even understand. I'll give you an example. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived in Mecca and he becomes a prophet, and then he's told to preach to Islam, and then did the Meccans give him a hard time? They did, right? They gave him a very hard time. Until the point where he flees, he goes to Medina. And then Alhamdulillah, years after years, he becomes stronger and stronger and more powerful, and more people follow him. In the end, he comes back to Mecca as a conqueror. Did he not? What is that called? Fathu what? Fathu Mecca. As the Prophet is entering victorious into the city of his enemies, he was so humble. He was on his camel. He lowered his head all the way to the point where his nose was touching the back of his camel. He lowered his head in humility, meaning, Ya Allah, this is not from me, this is from you. Ya Allah, this is not from me, it's from you. We need to be humble. We learn from the story of Adam the fact that men and women, they need each other, just like our father Adam and Hawa need each other. We learn from the story of Adam that sinning is natural, but what also should be natural is repenting. This is not to celebrate sinning. We should not celebrate sinning. We should not accept sinning. Sinning is haram, of course. But if you fall into it, the Prophet told us a hadith. كُلَّ بْنُ آدَمْ خَطَّاءُ all of mankind are often sinners. They often make mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ And the best of those are التَّوَابُونَ Those who sincerely repent to Allah. So get into the habit of repentance. And the best repentance that you can do is to say the statement, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا Oh Allah, we've oppressed ourselves, we've wronged ourselves by eating from that fruit. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ If you do not forgive us or show us mercy, we will be surely among the losers. We learn from the story of Adam alayhi salam that the differences that we have as mankind doesn't matter because we all share one ancestor. In other words, all of mankind are to each other what? Brothers. All of mankind are to each other brothers. This is why we are ordered to honor all human beings. To honor all human beings, regardless of what their background is, regardless of where they come from, they deserve your honor and there is a relationship that we have as human beings. We are all brothers in humanity. We share a common father, Adam alayhi salam. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to conclude here, my brothers. I hope this lesson was beneficial. This will happen once a month, so follow our social media to know. Each time, it doesn't always have to be prophets. It may be Maryam, it may be Luqman, it may be a story in the Sunnah, but each time we'll come together and we'll reflect, inshallah ta'ala, over this story and see if we can extract lessons from it. We'll conclude here. هذا آخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.